And I ain't hear no drop in a minute. No, I'm about my business.
Rapper's Guide Podcast, episode 34. This is your host, Diggy Manchbro.
Bales Pagliacci.
And today we wanted to talk about feet. I'm just playing. Today we wanted to talk about having a music business lawyer and how important that is in the game. It kind of really matters. And I think everyone kind of thinks about the different people that they need in their corner, and they're thinking about, oh, I'm going to need a manager, and I'm going to need someone that's going to be my assistant, or I'm going to need producers, and I'm going to need videographers. They think of all the creative stuff, but when it comes to the business, they don't think about what they're going to need business-wise to have a long career in music. And one of the most important things that you're going to need is a music lawyer.
And one of the first things that comes to my mind when you say that is, anytime you're about to sign a deal, they're going to slide you over all this paperwork with all this verbiage inside of it, all these things, all these non-disclosures, maybe possibly. I don't know what the hell's in those contracts, because honestly, I don't know how to read the shit myself. And you could get so excited when you see that paper slide across the desk. You're like, you know, I'm going to just sign my name on it. And then you don't know what the fuck you're going to get yourself into. Or they're like, hey, listen, we'll provide you this lawyer to look over the shit for you. And, you know, once they tell you everything's cool, you can sign it. And yeah, that's how you're going to end up in one of those bad situations where you're just going to hate life. You're going to hate wanting to make music. You're going to hate everything within the music industry just because you just got so excited. You got like basically like being a deer in the headlight. Like, oh shit, right, this is my time. Let me just do it.
I think that people think about when they'll need these people, and they don't realize how instantly you'll need it if you gain success.
Yeah.
So like, all right, cool. You start making great records, and they're blowing up and they're exploding. And now all of a sudden, every label that you fucked with your entire life is reaching out to you, and they want you to sign a deal. Who is reading those contracts? It can't be you.
Nope.
Like, it cannot be you who reads the contracts. Unless you have a law degree and you know what the fuck you're reading, it can't be you. And I'm assuming if you're trying to have a career in rap music or in any music, really, you're probably not a lawyer.
That'd be really weird.
That'd be odd if you went to law school and like passed the bar and you fucking were like, actually, I'll be a rapper.
Let me go rap. That's
yeah,
what I
doubt
do.
It. Right. So like, someone needs to read that contract. And the problem is like, you might read the contract and just not understand the terminology in it. And that's where you need a lawyer. It's not about like, most of it's in plain writing. It's in English, but it's written in a certain way and purposely so that they could kind of trip you up. It's written in a way where they're going to get away with some things that you're not even going to understand because they're in the terms, but like you're skimming through stuff.
Yeah.
You don't know what this one line means. So you avoid it. You just skip past it. Whatever. I'll figure that out later. And that thing that you figured out later might have been the most important thing to your career, and you just completely disregarded. So when you think about the timeline of when you're going to need a music business lawyer, ASAP.
Because just as, like, when you think about it, right? At any moment, you can just randomly blow up. Like everybody, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of artists sometimes overnight become a celebrity, or overnight they blow up instantly. And it's like their head starts spinning everywhere. They're getting calls from labels, probably. They're getting calls from, you know, their fake friends that says, oh, I've always supported you. They go,
well, let's be
all
real.
That.
Not overnight.
Not overnight, yes.
Not overnight. The success feels like overnight because they'll land one.
Yeah.
That came after 10 years of working on music and them struggling. You know what I mean? So it's not really overnight success, but like in those 10 years, if your primary focus was the music, and you're working on your production, you're working on all the things creatively, chances are you weren't just walking around talking to different lawyers and finding out who would be best suited for you and who has your best interest at mind. Like, those are things that you just don't think about as an artist.
Yeah, don't think about it. I mean, honestly, before I read the Passman book, I didn't even think, what the fuck is an entertainment lawyer anyway? I was like, that was the last thing that was ever on my fucking mind, I'll be honest. But, you know, just having a person that could look over that verbiage, like you said before, like, you know, when we was in school, they say, if you don't understand something, go back a few words and see if you could like try to link it together. And it's like, when it comes to those contracts, yes, it is in plain English, but once again, they could be fucking around with those words and you just be maybe signing up to something that you're not really knowing that you need or not understanding it fully. Like a lot of artists back then, They were signing away their masters. They was also signing away their publishing. They was able to keep their tour money, but a lot of those other things that's on the back end, like when you get quarterly, is the things that they always tend to sign away. And it's like, most of them had no fucking clue. They just thought, yo, whatever, I'm here. I'm about to get some money. That's all my mind is on.
Think about this. A lot of people probably think that as long as you have a manager, you're straight. If you walk into a meeting with an executive and they're trying to sign you, if you bring your manager, who's your friend probably, mm-hmm. if you bring them along, they could read the contract and the manager handles that. The manager doesn't handle that. That's not even something that the manager is supposed to handle. You're supposed to have an entertainment lawyer.
And if he is, you got to have some supposed to problems
have,
ahead.
Yeah, you're supposed to have a music business lawyer unless your manager is a lawyer. And in that case, sure.
And that does happen sometimes.
It does. Yeah, but for the most part, your manager and your lawyer are two different people. Yeah, your manager focuses on managing artists. Your lawyer focuses on the fucking contractual things that matter in your career.
I don't want one person wearing too many hats, especially when it comes to that like type of level of responsibility.
If your focus is supposed to be on how to expand my artistry and how to get me into venues, performing and all that stuff, then I don't want you focusing on the contracts. I want the person who knows what they're reading to focus on the contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's easy to kind of like miss what you actually need, because unless you read up on it, it's not just so clear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's so many things in this game that are not clear. You probably never heard of anyone's business lawyer. You probably never heard of them. Like, yeah, you don't even know what their name is. You don't know them at all. You've never seen something. And they might have a roster, or they might have clients that are the biggest artists in the world, and mm-hmm. you have no idea who they are. You know what I mean? Because they're not the famous people.
They're not like out front and center.
Right. These are the guys that sit in an office all day and read paperwork.
But the people that's within the industry know these guys, and they know those are the ones you got to like go to, or like the ones that's going to point you to somebody that can help you out and assist you with shit.
And sometimes when you're getting to a point of like stardom, you'll probably be around other artists who have reached that point before, and you'll probably have references to other lawyers that this guy I work with, and he got me this deal, and it's a great deal. So maybe I could recommend him to you, and maybe you could talk to him and see if you could join his roster. And finding someone who's not down with the labels is a big thing, because for a lot of artists, like if you're in a situation, labels will supply you with a lawyer
mm-hmm.
internally. But when it comes down to you versus the label, because there will be points in your career where it comes down to you versus the label. When it comes down to that, you can't expect a lawyer that was supplied by a label to have your best interest.
And if you guys remember when the Migos was having those problems with quality control, it basically was the same situation. Like the lawyers that they had was working for the label. So it's like, yeah, you guys are definitely making some money right now. You guys are the acting, you guys are generating all this revenue, but this label is going to always constantly do this. So it's like, why would I side with you when you're getting this temporary money in a sense, when I could just sign with the label? Well, I know it's going to be consistent. I'm going to constantly get business.
You're one act.
Exactly.
A label might have 20 acts.
Bunch of them.
They have 30 acts, right? And 30 acts are all supplied the same lawyer.
Yep.
He's not going to disregard the person who's supplying him all these acts and just have your back.
Just because your music is fire.
Right. Like, what sense would that make? Like, this is a business. So that's not going to happen. What they really want is they want to work for the label who pays them. And the label pays them probably lovely.
Mm, very lovely.
So they're going to sit there and they're going to always have the label's back. And that's why it's important to go find your own lawyer and supply your own lawyer when stuff like that comes about. You want to know that the person that you have behind you has your actual back. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Not the label's back, not outside people. You want them to have your back and just your back. That's their focus. Their job is you. So knowing who these people are, knowing how to figure out, it's Google search.
Yes, Google.
You know what I mean? Like,
always your best friend.
Yeah, like you don't have to like, they're not in a dungeon somewhere and like they get unleashed only when the right people know. Like, you don't have to know the passcode. You know what I mean? Yeah. These are people that you could look up. Like, just like you could look up a lawyer if you get a DUI, you could look up a lawyer for your entertainment.
Because when you think about it, you're driving around, you see the guys that's doing like the DUI, they have those big ass what's those things called again? Banners, advertisements,
yeah.
Billboard. There we go. Fucking yeah. Jesus. You have these big old billboards for that. You have billboards for like immigration papers. You have billboards for getting divorces. You see this shit all the time. So when you think of it like that, there has to be an entertainment lawyer. I'm not even saying it has to be like they are there, but it's not really like front and center where it's like every day somebody's a musician, so they're going to be advertising it as much. You got to have to search these things up and figure out, you know, who have they worked with before? You know, what are some of the things that they have worked on? What is their specialty? Because every single deal you may come across may be a little bit differently, whether it be with a label or you're just doing it independently. Every deal is going to be different. All the word is going to be different. So you got to make sure you go into the specific person that's going to help you with that specified thing. Like, I'm not going to go, you know, sign something with a venue with a lawyer when I'm trying to get like a sync placement. Those may be two different people that I need to speak to as far as knowing it. Maybe they may have, you know, some advice in both, but you know, I'm looking for somebody that's specifically working on this because this is what I'm going for at that specific time.
Right. And the beauty of having people, like the beauty of having a manager that focuses on a manager's duties, the beauty of having a videographer that shoots the videos and isn't worried about being part of the entourage and like all these things, like these are jobs that you have to fill with people that are solely focused on that job in particular. And once you find, like he said before, like you don't want them to wear too many hats, because if you have one person trying to do everything, they'll never be good at everything.
Nope.
They might be okay or good enough to get by at the other things, but they have one primary focus. And me as a business mind, I'd rather have a bunch of people who only do the thing that their primary focus
is. Yeah, because when you build a business, you gather in all the great minds in this specific sector, this specific sector, and you're just bridging them together and you're just bringing it all together. It's like, I don't want my marketing guy doing all the like the finance shit. Like, bro, focus on marketing and that's where the money's going to come in and they're going to worry about crunching the numbers. I don't want you doing both.
At the studio, if I was to hire a marketing guy, I'm not going to ever be busy and have a session booked and be like, yo, you think you could fill in as the engineer? Like, no.
Just for today, man. Just real quick.
Yo, just sit there and just like hit record. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like his job is that and the engineer's job is the engineer's job. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to split that up. So entertainment law, what do they focus on? All your contracts, all your licenses, literally everything that pertains to you making actual money. If you sign a publishing deal, they're focused on that. If you are getting sync placements, they're focused on that. They're going to handle all that stuff. And what's dope about music business lawyers is that if you find the right one, they have connections to other artists. So you might be able to build connections through them because there's a common interest there.
Because guess what? Other artists need entertainment lawyers as well. So if they are reaching out to these lawyers, at this point, a manager normally has a network. But when you think of it on this scale, every musician is going to need an entertainment lawyer, which means they're usually going to, I don't want to say the top people, but everybody's basically connected some way, somehow. And from that, it's always a trickle-down effect. Oh, you know, I was just working with XYZ artist, and you know, he actually mentioned you, or, you know, we think about working with you. Hey, you think I could set this up for you guys? And then boom, next thing you know, you're on a track with that artist. And it's like, it came from just going to a common place because you both needed a service from someone. And you go into a common place where that's where music business is going to take place anyway.
And if you find the right entertainment lawyer, they want to see you succeed because for every contract that you get, they get paid.
Cha-ching.
So why would they not want you to sign a bunch of contracts? Why would they not want you to get a bunch of deals in place? Their job is literally only beneficial to them if they're doing the work for you. So it's like you need to have contracts coming in and different deals coming in if they're even going to get money. So they're going to look out for you. But again, you have to find the right people. There's going to be sketchy people in every business. There's going to be sketchy people that have jobs that, like, for instance, there are people who have come to the studio and worked with me and they're like, yeah, this engineer at this other place did this. And I'm like, that's kind of gross. You know what I mean? Whether it be, you know, my session was till 6 p.m. and at 6 p.m. on the dot, he shut his computer off. Mm-hmm. Like, that's nasty to me. That's just not a person. Like, I look at stuff as in, when you come to the studio, I want you to be comfortable because I want you to come back.
Yes.
I want you to always feel like this is a place that you enjoy being at.
Welcome.
Right. So if I shut the laptop, like guess what that guy did? He just made sure you never come back.
Mm-hmm.
If a lawyer fucks up with one of your contracts, you're not going to keep using him.
No.
Unless you like your contracts being fucked up, then
go ahead.
Yeah. Do your thing.
Hey,
but like for the most part, like these guys are going to try to do their best because they want to keep you as a client. So you're going to find a lot of people. And again, there's recommendations. Now there's probably stars. There's mm-hmm. probably stars for lawyers. You know what I mean? Like a rating on lawyers. You could probably go online. Yeah, because it's business.
I could rate my professor. I could rate a fucking...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's probably ratings online about entertainment lawyers.
You know what I just thought about too? I think the reason that a lot of time artists don't really think about it is because they probably don't realize how much, you know, when music is put out, how much people either get sued or like have like some type of like lawsuit put against them or something like that, because it's not really publicized. The song is usually what's most important. If the song is popping and it's fire, people really don't tend to really think about all the litigation and everything that may be happening behind the closed doors, because all you see is the song and that it's doing, performing well. Because I know there's numerous songs out there that are doing well, but if you really look it up, you could probably see that they've been sued by different people, well, why artists, they don't, everywhere. But see,
why they don't hear about the litigation is because in most cases, it doesn't go to litigation. There's settlement.
Yeah, exactly.
In most cases, like if someone sues you for X amount and you know that it was their sample and you're not going to win,
mm-hmm.
You're just going to pay them. You're going to work out a settlement. You're going to, okay, how much do you want? You want 75% of the record? All right, I got to give you 75% of the record. It's your song, right? And that's if you didn't go through the processes of clearing the sample. And even if you did, a lawyer is going to go through the process of clearing the sample, yep, as well, because that's their job as well. And they're going to also have access to people who probably own the samples. They're going to have access to a lot of people. So you're actually building a network that's beyond just building a musical network.
I wish I remembered the name of that New Jersey artist, the thing that happened with Cardi B. With the
Mirafontaine.
Mirafontaine with the, yeah, Up If It Stuck mm-hmm. song. Definitely know you got some good entertainment lawyers over there, because once again, he was able to get a settlement for the song. This was definitely a carbon copy. And
so he got a settlement?
Yeah, he did. He got paid off of it.
That's awesome.
He got paid off of it. And it was just like things like that.
Because she was lying at first.
Yeah, like, nah, I don't know what it's there.
I've never heard the song. Well, that's the same exact chorus.
That's a win for Jersey.
The same exact way.
Win for Jersey, right?
Yeah, I'll
there.
Take the win for Jersey.
You know what I'm saying? But that's what it really comes down to. Knowing like, yo, I just have an entertainment lawyer that's going to go there, help me out, and just try to figure out how can we make this a real case. Like, this obviously was my song. And he may have probably took like 2 or 3 years, probably going through the whole process. I'm not entirely sure about the timeline. But, you know, shit in court never just happens like instantly. But going through those steps and having those like a lawyer on your side is going to be able to get you your money that you're definitely due, because once again, people do steal content, people do steal ideas, and then they'll just try to make it seem like it's theirs. That's the industry we live in. We talked about this probably two episodes ago about the fuck shit that's within the industry. And we all know stealing and taking ideas and not giving credit is always the fuck shit in the industry. So always got to make sure that you prepare, and your manager's not going to be able to help you with that. You need a lawyer. You need somebody in there that's going to say objection.
And also, if you find an actual manager, not your friend, if you find a real manager, they probably have a decent knowledge base of different entertainment mm-hmm. lawyers and all these different people that you're going to need. They're going to let you know what you're going to need as you build on this music career. And they'll be able to get you in contact with the right people if you pick the right manager. Again, like that's another position that you need to find someone that you could trust, because they're handling your business and you can't just have anyone be your manager. And that's why, as nice as it is to have your friend be your manager, it's quite often not the move.
You just never know when that business is going to kick up, and then you just...
Because you don't
want to
overwhelm somebody that has no idea what they're doing. And when it pertains to your whole career, you can't just put people in place just because. There's very few cases. Like, you could look at a LeBron where he puts like Rich Paul in a position to be his manager. And now Rich Paul is one of the biggest agents, not manager, agent, same shit, mm-hmm. but basketball terms, his agent, right? He puts Rich Paul in place to be his agent. That's his friend from growing up. And now Rich Paul is one of the biggest agents in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like a...
anomaly.
Yeah, like that doesn't happen often. You know what I mean? That you don't hear that story constantly. You hear more about the story of the person who their friend was by their side for 15 years and then they ditched them for a different manager and now their friend has beef with them. It's like, yeah, because bro, it could only go so long.
Yeah, at a certain point, we got to really transcend. Like, all right, you know, you did this so much for me. I'm grateful. Thank you. But
you did what you were capable of. Mm-hmm. That's the conversation that's never had. Like, you did only what you were capable of. You were capable of working with me from this point to this point. But now I've surpassed all of your knowledge on these matters. And I need to find someone who's capable of handling from this point.
And it doesn't even mean you get kicked fully to the wayside. It doesn't mean like, you know, that person instantly becomes nobody. They can still definitely be beneficial, but it's like,
still be part of your team.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be.
They're not going
to
be your manager.
Nah, no more.
Yeah. And no they mas. Shouldn't have been your manager probably from the jump. We've talked about this on past episodes, but like there are so many positions that you could put people in that don't have to be your manager. Mm-hmm. Manager is a very, very important role. And if you're smart, you're going to get someone that's their job.
That's a good thing about the entertainment lawyer because you just can't make anybody an entertainment lawyer. They got to actually go to school, pass the bar, right. You know, go through some cases themselves, go through all those case studies. So at that point, it's like, I'm not about to just grab somebody out of nowhere to do all my fucking lawyer shit.
Right. And with unfortunately, with managers, you don't have to pass anything.
You
could
just fucking grab anybody.
Right. But having an MBA, having a business degree like that, it's probably the person that you're looking at when you want to pick a manager. Mm-hmm. You want someone with their MBA. You want someone that understands business like in its entirety. They understand the numbers. They understand how everything works. They understand percentages. Like, you want someone that's going to be able to do all that. And you can't just pick some random person that you grew up with just because you wanted to make it out and you promised that you'd bring them along with you. And now you're putting them in a role that they can't do. Mm-hmm. You know, with entertainment lawyers, like you said, they're always going to be someone that's qualified, maybe not good at the job. Mm-hmm. Because let's be real. Everyone's a human being, yeah, right? Yeah. There's doctors out there that are fucking terrible.
I was thinking the same thing. There's some trash-ass doctors out here.
Like, there are doctors that you go to and they give you completely wrong information. And they'll tell you some shit that's like, you want a perfect example. I was playing basketball in college, right? Freshman year of college. I went to college to play ball. And one of my practices, I had this like, weird like heart palpitation, but like also like shit like knocked the air out of me, and I felt like I was gonna have a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Right? Or I was having like a mini heart attack. That's what I felt like. I went to this doctor and they run tests on me, and then he pulls out like this piece of paper, and he's like, man, like this is stuff that I only see in like older gentleman. Like, I've never seen this in someone your age. And he goes, oh wait, that wasn't your paperwork.
Fucking dead. At that
point, fam, I'm sitting there like, am I dying?
Yeah, at that point, like, bro, I don't trust you at all as a doctor. Facts. You definitely flew by like, the shit. I never went there. Your parents paid the fucking school or some shit.
You feel what I'm saying though? Yeah. Like, there are people in positions that just because they're in the position doesn't mean that they're good at it. Like, you have to understand that, like, there are good workers and there are bad workers. There are people managing a fucking Starbucks right now that should not be managing a Starbucks. Mm-hmm. They're bad at it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to handle themselves. They do a terrible job. And it's like, that happens. Sometimes people are in positions they don't belong in. And you have to find the good people in every position.
Because then, like, you know, you have an entertainment lawyer, right? So now that's dealing with your merch. If you have merch, just making sure that nobody's either, you know, stealing your show or that your shit is copyrighted, trademarked. Making sure that you have the rights and the licenses to it. The music within itself, whether it be samples, having the features, you know, certain appearances as far as like, once again, the booking venues, if you're doing it on your own independently. What else can I fucking think about? This is a lot of shit that I'm probably not thinking about right at this exact moment, but almost anything that you could think about that you could do within your career that's going to make you some money, you want to make sure that your investment is properly taken care of. And you want to make sure that it's just not somebody just like, you know, doing it just to do it. Because once again, you could also ask these people, these entertainment lawyers, yo, how many other artists do you have under you right now? Can I have some contact information for some of these artists to see, you know, see, or some previous people that you worked with so I can be able to have a conversation with them? I just want to make sure that you're the person that needs to be there to help me. And it's perfectly fine to ask for some type of like work or some credit. Like, when you go to a doctor's office, dentist, eye doctor, whatever, you always see like their credentials sitting on the wall. And that the entertainment lawyer may not like have, you know, they might have their actual shit up on the wall. Actually, now I'm thinking about it. But you're not going to see the artist. And everything. You can't go to the doctor and say, hey, can I talk to this patient?
You could definitely, you know, I'm sure a lot, nowadays especially, I'm sure a lot of entertainment lawyers have websites.
Yeah.
I'm sure they show their clientele on the website if the clients agree to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that, and if they don't, I'm sure that's the first thing that a lawyer is going to say to you. Like, I work with this guy. I work with that guy. Like, they're going to want to prove themselves adequate. So they're definitely going to tell you who they work with.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell you details, obviously, because that's against their job.
Yeah. But it's not like, yeah, I don't know what you mean.
They're going to be real with you and be like, hey, I work with this guy, and this guy. This is the positions that they're in. And, you know, like, that's from me working with them.
Exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with asking questions, especially when it comes to your career. You have to know everyone's intentions, and you also have to know, like, for instance, there's PR firms that hit you up, and I don't know if that's like me being dated, but back in the day, all the time I would get hit up by PR firms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll work on your marketing and this and that. This is before all like the Facebook ads and Instagram ads and all that, but like back in the day it was PR firms, and I remember this PR firm hit me up, and the girl was very inviting.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to her, and we were talking numbers and everything, and then I looked at her roster and I never heard of anyone.
Yeah.
I said, maybe not the person I should have doing my marketing.
If this was the PR y'all doing, then I don't know any of these motherfuckers.
Right. Like, I should probably have heard of at least one of the people on your list. You don't have a single person that I've heard of, and you do marketing for a living?
And then it's even more of a head cracker when you actually try to Google these people and there's still nothing. It's like, all right, this is just some bullshit. You're just trying to get my money real quick.
Yeah. And you could make, I mean, there's so many ways to kind of like get by in that game. If you're a PR person, you could literally make fake blog posts.
Finesse shit.
And literally make it look like you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got you on this site. They bought a domain for X amount and fucking created a fake post, you know? There's so many ways. Or they paid for one of these people that post your shit on their site.
Mm-hmm.
It cost them $10, but you paid them $300 a month
a
year.
When you get those fucking DMs on Instagram now, when it's telling you, hey, follow this page. And it's like, yo, they're using bots too, just trying to put attention towards you.
Shit.
It's fucking corny. I hate every single one of those practices. And please, if you're out there doing it, just please stop.
Out there doing it, like, think about, go to your kitchen, open up the cabinets, find like a cleaning agent, and start drinking it. Because you're like a real piece of shit. Like, I,
hey, yo, I didn't know you was going with that at
that's
first.
That's where I'm going with it. I want to be on this podcast very clearly telling you I fucking hate you.
Yeah, I hate you too.
I despise you. I think that you are fucking scummy. I think that your whole career that you've chosen is immoral. I think that you're a piece of shit. And I think that you should really question your values. I think that if your job is to go out there and scam young artists who are trying to do their fucking passion and dreams, then you should really try to look at yourself and wonder why you hate yourself. Because there's no person out there that actually likes living that is just has made it their life mission to fuck people over. You're all corny, like every one of you. You might think that you're just doing a service and that there's nothing wrong with it. You're corny. Like, you're a real piece of shit. And I fucking hate you. I'm being honest.
I hate every single last one of them. The ones with the
and it's not about being annoying. Yeah, I don't hate you for being annoying. No. That's just part of it. I hate you because what you're doing is literally fucked up.
Taking advantage of someone's dream.
You're taking advantage of kids. Really. Like, that's who you're taking advantage of. Yeah. Most people that are trying to make it as a rapper and shit are kids.
Because in my adult life now, like there's no way they could kind of dupe me or get me. I mean, sometimes they be good. Fucking, they had this thing where it was like a Say Cheese interview, and it was just so great. I was looking at it, but I'm like, why the fuck would Say Cheese be hitting me up?
But see, once you hit that thought process, why the fuck would they be hitting me up?
Exactly.
That's when you know it's not real.
Because I was like,
I've had labels hit me up, and you're like, a label doesn't just email you
exactly.
Exactly. It's just not how that works.
Then you always see at the bottom, hey, look, just give us $150 just for like the initial deposit of whatever the fuck they're trying to do. And it's like, for what? Y'all have a fucking multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar company. What the fuck I look like?
I'm a deposit to get an interview? What the fuck are you talking about?
It's wild. And then, you know what's funny? When I went to say cheese, his Instagram had said, no, I didn't email you, nigga.
He said that?
No, like I didn't actually hit him up. Like when I went to his Instagram, because I was like, let me just double check. Yeah, it's in the email. In his bio, it said, no, I did not email you, nigga. I find that shit so fucking hilarious.
That is funny, but he probably gets messages all the time about
like,
it.
Yo, you tried to interview me, but it's like, once again, as an artist, take some accountability.
Because people probably message him off the chain on some like, yo, where is my 150?
Exactly.
And he's like, bro, it wasn't me.
What are you talking about?
I can't give you your 150 back when I didn't take it from you.
And I even seen some shit where Adam22 had some shit where some dude was trying to sue him as well because one of these scam things, they just randomly hit him up like, yo, you're going to be on Adam22 or whatever the case may be. And Adam, he actually sued Adam22. He lost it. But then Adam22 was looking at him like, yo, bro, like, did you really think that I was hitting you up? Like, did you really think that was something like you didn't think and you want to blame me for it? Like, no, that's on you.
A lot of time artists are just looking for any form of like validation that they're doing the right thing or like what they're doing is paying off. And so they get an email that's false and they have to run with it because in their head, it's like, finally, someone noticed. That's not how it works, man. They're not just going to hit you up like that. You know what I mean? Like these places are not just looking, they're not just looking to hit you up.
It's just, once again, when you're young, and even young, because I think even people that's around our age and a little bit older than us, they probably get duped by the shit too. Because sometimes, you know, it's your dream. So
it's also just naivete. It's like there's a lot of people out there that they don't try to understand the business. So they have a false idea of how the business processes. And then however they thought it processes, where like someone just hits you up randomly and they just tell you, oh, I'm going to interview you. Just send me 150. They're like, obviously that's how it works.
Yeah, this is it.
Right, like that's exactly how that works. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, like it's never how it works.
What was that word you just said? You said naivete?
Naivete.
I ain't never hear that shit a day in my life, bro.
Really?
I thought that was like somebody's name for a second.
No, naivete. It's like just the action of being naive.
I never knew that. It's fucking crazy. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I think that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, go fucking, when you reach a certain point, you need to understand or have in your mind entertainment lawyer. If this is your first time like hearing us say entertainment lawyer or ever thinking of it or it popping in your head, not saying it's a full problem, but you know, you probably should have known I may need an entertainment lawyer. And don't depend on, once again, somebody else finding an entertainment lawyer for you, because even the managers could be in cahoots with the entertainment lawyer and they just taking everything you fucking got and just right under your fucking eye because you giving too much fucking shit to other people. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, just fucking actually like read up on these things, try to like be somewhat self-sufficient, try to understand that like you can do this yourself, you can find people to put in positions. They're going to cost money, as everything does.
Mm-hmm.
And we're never liars about that. We always tell you that money, shit money, costs money. Money in this industry, and if you want the right people in place, whether it be for your cover arts like we talked about last episode, or it be for your entertainment lawyer, you're going to have to pay money. And the more money that you pay for some of these people, the better services you're going to get.
And when you think about it, if you're paying money, that means you're already doing something right. So if you're paying money for a certain shit, you're doing something right. So the money's going to come back to you. So don't worry about that.
And when he says that, he's talking about like if you're marketing, if you're paying money for marketing, you're making a good move. If you're paying money for cover arts and you're getting quality work done, you're making a good move. If you're paying money toward a lawyer who's doing the right shit by you, you're making the right move. So just know, like, yeah, this industry costs a lot of money and a lot of you probably won't afford it. And that's, you know, that's a choice you have to make at a certain point. But like, if you do want to attack this industry head on and you do want to have a career in this industry, then the quicker you understand that money will be spent, the easier you're going to have it.
And don't be that guy named Naivete.
Right. Don't be naivete.
Not naivete.
Oh, all right, guys. Rapper's Guide Podcast, episode 34. We're signing out. This is Diggy Metro.
Bills Pagliacci.
Peace out, guys.